We'll just pray. Thank you, Father, that you desire to be known by us, and that you hadn't left it for us to come close to you, but that you've come to us and just made yourself real in our midst. Thank you, Father, that you come and plopped your heart out so that we could just have intimacy with you, that we could see the love you feel for us. Lord, our heart is that that we could know and be known, and that we could just find our lives shaped with your love for us, and we can find it just as a living well of water pouring out of us with peace and love and joy and kindness. Thank you, Lord, that you continue to make yourself real to us, that you continue to make your love real to us, and that you just bring forth the full persuasion in us that we are the children of God and that we are loved by you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I don't know if you guys have realized it, but I've been on like this Gospel of John kick. And I didn't realize it till I started doing this. But if I look back over the last couple months, I've been highlighting some of these things in the Gospel of John. And so today, I want to survey the Gospel of John again. And really, the thing I want to survey is probably the primary theme, I think, in all of the Gospel of John that we're going to survey today. And we obviously not going to have time to go and pick out every single verse, but we're going to paint the picture of what I would say is the main theme John is writing his gospel about and the main thing he's trying to get across. You know, one of the things that can happen when you begin to understand what a person's trying to say, it gives you great revelation about what the things in between are speaking of, right? Like what's in this guy's heart to get across? When you can understand what a guy's trying to get across, then you kind of have eyes to see, oh, now I see what that means. Oh, now I see what he's saying there. Right? And so we could say a lot of things about the Gospel of John. There's a lot of things you could pick out and highlight and preach about. There's a lot of wisdom. There's a lot of revelation. But I think what the Gospel of John is really all about is the commandment of Jesus. That's the primary theme of the Gospel of John. I could say it a bunch of different ways, but the way the Scripture talks about in the Gospel, it talks about the commandment of Jesus, the commandment that the Father gave to Jesus. And what that means isn't that the Father commanded Jesus or gave him an order to perform, is that the Father gave a commandment to Jesus for Jesus to tell all of us. And that's what the Gospel of John is all about. And if you look at John chapter 14, I think verse 15, John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? Now, that's a heavy thing, it sounds like, right? Actually, it's the most delightful and light and breezy thing you could ever hear, man. But to love someone right there, you know, we all have our own idea of what it means to love somebody, right? I mean, even when I just say that Jesus says, if you love me, like straight away, most of us already have a view of what it means to love him. And then we're busy thinking we got to do all those things for Jesus. But in the context there, to love someone means to value something. So to love something in that context means that you have value for it. Now, Jesus was just talking about his commandment. So what Jesus is saying there is if you have value for what I've shown you, then abide in it, right? Put your stake in the ground right there. If you have value for what I've shown you, then go to rest in what I've said to you. If you think that what I've said to you is good and true, if you think that it's beneficial to your life, then continue in my commandment. That's what he's saying there. So to love Jesus doesn't look like you're going to perform some ministry for Jesus, doesn't look like you're going to do all these things for Jesus, although you might find yourself doing some of that as you abide in his commandment. Or rather, as you find his commandment abiding in you, right? You might find yourself doing some of those things. But that's not how you love Jesus. The way you love Jesus is he's come and said something. And the way that you would love Jesus is by valuing what he said. That's it. By you saying, yeah, that's a good saying, man. Right? Like if you think I said something good one day. Listen, I guarantee you, if I've ever said anything good, it wasn't me, it was God, right? But if you were to say, man, that was really good what Greg said there. I find great value in that. It's very beneficial to my life. That, in the context of Jesus saying, if you love me, that would be you loving Greg, right? You would be valuing something that I said, hallelujah. So then the big question becomes, what is the commandment of Jesus? And that's when everybody's got their view, right? And I try to say this a lot, but we don't get to have our view, right? Because we're not the one that had the commandment, right? There's only one person's view that matters, and it's Jesus's view of what his commandment is. And so that's what we're going to talk about, but that's the big question. What is the commandment of Jesus? And normally what we'll hear and what we'll say or what we'll think of is we'll think of all the things we think Jesus told us to do, right? We think of the commandment of Jesus. It's got to be things he told us to do. Oh my goodness, and now he's saying, if we love him, we'll do the things he told us to do. If we love him, then we got to do these things. Oh, and my goodness, that means if we're not doing these things, it must mean we don't love Jesus. You see how quickly it can deteriorate there, right? Let me just say this. If all of you have said, Abba, I will take eternal life as a free gift, you've loved Jesus. Period. It ain't got nothing to do with what you've done or not done along the way or how much you think you felt fear or faith along the way. It's, have you said, Abba, I need life as a gift. I'll take your life as a free gift. Then you've loved Jesus, right? And so normally what happens when we think of the commandment of Jesus, we think of all these things Jesus told us to do. We think of things like Jesus saying, do not be afraid. We think of things like Jesus saying, love your enemies. We think of things like Jesus saying, you must turn the other cheek. We think of the commandment of Jesus as a bunch of thou shalts and thou shalt nots. We think of the commandment of Jesus as he's told us we got to perform these works, the works of the law, and now we're going to perform the works of the law. Those are the things that normally come to mind. But we just want to read what Jesus says about his commandment, right? We're just going to read what he says. Is that okay? I know it's okay for you guys. Forgive me, you know. We're going to pick up in John chapter 12. And every verse we quote through this message is all going to come from John. And we're going to let that shape our thoughts about the commandment of Jesus. So John chapter 12, verse 44. Jesus cried. That doesn't mean he's weeping, I don't think. I could be wrong, but I think it's true. Oh, yeah, you know what? Before I forget, you guys forgive me. I'm kind of scattered brain. But last week in the message, I got the timeline wrong. I mixed up the timeline with the children of Israel when they came down the mountain and the ground swallowing up. I confused my timeline. So if you listen to the message and you hear me talk about the people being swallowed up by the ground, what I said about the people being swallowed up was true, and what I said about why the 3,000 people died was true, but I confused the historical timeline of when those events happened. And so I just wanted you guys to know about that. John chapter 12, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believes on me believes not on me. Well, that's a funny thing to say, ain't it? He that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sees me sees him that sent me. Remember, Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father, right? Philip said, show us the Father and we'll believe. And Jesus said, look, Philip, how long am I going to have to be with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus says, he that sees me is actually seeing him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. What is the light that Jesus is that came into the world? He brought to light the true knowledge of who God is. He shined a light on who God really is and what is really in God's heart towards mankind. That's what it means that he's a light that came into the world. John said that Jesus is the light that lights up every human in the world with the true knowledge about God. So I'm a light coming into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. There's a whole lot of messages I just did about judgment and judges that you can go back and get a good view of that. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And what Jesus is saying is, listen, I've come and declared the truth about the way unto life. And on the last day, it'll be revealed whether people believed what I said or what I didn't say. Because if they believed what I said about the way unto life, life is going to manifest in them. But if they reject it, What I said about the way to inherit eternal life, what's going to happen is eternal destruction is going to manifest in them. So Jesus is saying that's going to judge whether they've listened to me or not, or whether they valued what I've said or not. Okay? For I have not spoken of myself. Notice, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment. He gave me a commandment. What I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. I'm going to say that again. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Now, that can really challenge our cultural understanding and view of what a commandment is. What Jesus just said there. I don't know if you guys are like me, anytime somebody gets busy reading like a long list of passages, it's blah, 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 blah. What did you say? Okay, you're done. All right, what are we going to talk about now? Not you guys, just me, I know. I'm the only one that struggles like that. It really challenged our cultural view of what a commandment is, because how can someone perform eternal life? How can you do eternal life? How can someone command you to do eternal life? How many of you think that you can do? How many of you can even sort out what that would look like to perform eternal life? I mean, Jesus says his commandment, the commandment he came to give, the thing that the Father gave him to declare, he says is life everlasting. So is Jesus telling us we must produce eternal life? Is Jesus coming and telling the dust that the dust must now clothe upon itself with life? I mean, did God come to Adam in the beginning when he found Adam naked and give Adam an order to clothe himself? No way. No, and it, just to put pictures together, we could even say that when God clothed Adam, God was giving Adam his commandment. That was the manifestation of the commandment. God clothing Adam. That is his commandment. And so you can't order someone to perform eternal life. You see what I'm saying? And Jesus, he clearly comes and says, the Father has given me a commandment to give to all of you. And this commandment, here it is, it's life everlasting. What? So how am I going to get that right? Man, that's tough. That'll make your dust molecules shake a little bit, right? I mean, listen, that'll make you still, because immediately it'll fill you with fear and trembling, because immediately you'll think of this dust does not have an ability to bring forth eternal life. And immediately what'll happen is you'll be made still, because then you'll become in awe of God's ability to produce eternal life in you, free from your works. Glory to God. And so when you look at the word commandment, we'll take it from the Greek and the Hebrew perspective, and we'll kind of fill out the picture. A commandment is a word or a precept or an instruction about something. When you look at the Hebrew and the Greek thought about a commandment, it can be used in the sense of giving someone an order to perform. It can be used that way. But it's also used in the sense of teaching someone something or laying out for someone a code of wisdom. So it can be to give an order to somebody, but it also can be in the sense of teaching someone about something or laying out a code of wisdom. And a good example of it would be like if I taught somebody about the law of gravity. If I taught someone about the law of gravity, you could say that I gave them a commandment, right? Now, obviously, I didn't give them an order to perform gravity, right? That's not what I'm doing. But what I was doing is I'm teaching them about something that just is, right? There is such a thing as the law of gravity. And if I came and gave someone a commandment about the law of gravity, I would be teaching them about it. Right? Glory to God. I hope that makes some kind of sense. So Jesus, listen, It's interesting what he says there. I don't know if you guys realize this, but we tend to worship the man Jesus, right? We've kind of made the historical figure Jesus the thing we worship, instead of seeing what Jesus came. And this is Jesus talking about himself. You know, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus to worship Jesus, good master, good master, what shall I do? What must I perform to inherit eternal life? Pointing to the good works that he thought Jesus had done. And Jesus says there's one who's good. And he pointed to the Father. And so Jesus says something interesting in John. He tells the people his ministry isn't about seeing him. He says it's not about seeing me or believing on me. What? I thought the whole thing was about that. Go back and read John 12 for yourself too and spend some time dissecting that. He says my ministry isn't about you seeing me or you believing on me. It's about seeing the Father. It's about seeing the Father. That's what my whole ministry is about. It's about in seeing me, you can then see the Father. It's about the Father wanting to be seen and wanting to be known and me coming in the likeness or as the manifestation of the Father in the earth so that in you seeing me, you have seen the Father. So that you believing on me isn't you believing on me, it's actually you believing on the Father. He says, I didn't come to speak of myself. I actually come to speak of the Father. And so often what religion has done on the earth is we got this separation between Jesus and the Father. And we're busy believing on Jesus, and we're thankful for Jesus, and we see the Father as the guy that was smiting us all the time. But Jesus came to make the Father known. And so Jesus says, I didn't come to speak of myself. I'm not speaking of myself. He says, the Father has given me a commandment. The Father has given me a commandment, not an order, but he's given me a commandment to give to you. And this commandment is with the intent that the Father could be known by mankind. I'm busy knowing the Father. And that has brought something forth in me where I've been put to rest because I see his love for me. The Father has given it to me that I could come and declare to you what I know about him. That I could come and make him known in your midst so that in you seeing me, it'll be like you're seeing the Father. And that then you'll know him. And as you can know the love in this guy's heart for you, your faith will be towards him. That's the whole thing he says there. That's the whole thing he says there. And if you look at John, he begins his gospel by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then he says, and the Word was God. The Word is God himself. John goes on to say that the Word was made flesh to make God known in the earth. Jesus is the light that lights up every man, like I just said. He enters into the earth as the Word that is the Father in our midst. And what it does is, it shines as a light in the earth because it makes the Father known to mankind. Hallelujah. John says the Word was made flesh so God could be known by mankind. That's what he says. So what John's getting at is, listen, man, the Word that's been from the beginning, that was made flesh in Jesus, it is the Father. It is the Father. It's a declaration concerning the Father. And this is what the commandment of Jesus is all about. It's a declaration concerning the Father. When Jesus talks about his commandment, he's talking about what he come and taught us about the Father. That's his commandment. When he says, if you keep my commandment, if you value what I've come and said to you about the Father, if you find yourself having been, if you felt the love of the Father, man, continue in that love and know that nothing can move that love. That's what he's talking about there. The commandment of God, the Word that was made flesh in Jesus, it's a declaration concerning the Father. You can even say in the beginning was the commandment of God. And the commandment was with God. And the commandment was God. And the commandment was made flesh. And that commandment caused us to behold the glory of the Father. And it shined like a light in the earth. Jesus himself is the commandment. How are you going to work Jesus? How are you going to perform Jesus? How are you going to do Jesus? This is why people come and say, what are the works of God that we might work them? Because you're busy thinking, well, what is there left for me to do? Well, you've now begun to start to hear and understand the commandment of God. Because as it starts to unwind your thoughts from thinking of what must you do, well, you're starting to hear it right. Because you're busy looking around. Well, what is there to do? How do I perform Jesus? How do I do Jesus? What is there? Yeah. You're starting to think about it right. If you look back to John 12 that we just read, Jesus says the Father has given him a commandment to declare to the world, and his commandment, remember, is life under everlasting. The Father has given me something to say to all of you. And we know that this commandment he's given me is life everlasting. Jesus is saying the result, the fruit that this commandment will produce in a person, should they value it, is eternal life. The result of the commandment the Father has given me to declare to you, should a person value what is said, it will produce or manifest eternal life in them. That's what he says there. Now, that's given us some parameters by which we can start to understand what the commandment is, right? Whatever we want to say about the commandment of Jesus and what it's all about, it's got to be able to give you eternal life. If it can't give you eternal life, then it's immediately excluded from what the commandment can be. Because Jesus says the commandment will give you eternal life. And so there, that gives us a metric by which we're going to judge everything that anybody might come and say that Jesus commanded us. Immediately you want your heart to think, well, can that thing that they're telling me Jesus commanded me to do, can that thing produce eternal life in me? Because if it can't, then it can't be the commandment. It can't be Jesus' commandment. Whatever we want to say about the commandment or the commands of Jesus, it must be a saying or an instruction or a teaching that can produce eternal life in you. Otherwise, it cannot be the commandment of Jesus. Okay? So I want to ask you guys, I just want to ask a couple of these questions. Can giving produce eternal life in you? No. Can loving your enemies are serving in a ministry produce eternal life in you? Witnessing, as good as it is, all those things that we say are good, but can any of them produce eternal life in you? Then they can't be the commandment of Jesus. I'm so sorry. You actually have to let God serve you with his life. I know that we're busy feeling like Peter and trying to wash God's feet. I know we're busy thinking about how we're going to serve God and not understanding that the way we serve God is by declaring to the world how God has come to serve us. I know we're busy, no, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. I know that's what we're thinking all the time. But listen, man, the commandment of Jesus is about how God come to serve you and wash your feet with his life. Those things are good. It's not bad to give. It's not bad if you desire to perform a ministry. It's not bad if out of your heart you feel love for your enemy. That's not a bad thing. Those things are good. But those are the fruit of God's life. They can't produce eternal life in you should you do them. That's trying to live from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil all over again, where you can see the fruit on the tree looks good. You see the fruit of God's life is nice. And then you think, if I can produce that fruit, that will be the power unto me having eternal life. So you can never have eternal life by performing those things. And Jesus come and said, make no mistake, my commandment is about producing eternal life in people. So let us never come and say again that Jesus commanded us to perform all these things. That's not his commandment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If we stay in John's gospel, Jesus says, this is where we're going to connect the dots here a little bit, where it's going to begin. If we stay in John's gospel, Jesus says in John 17, he tells us where eternal life is found. And we get past John 12, we're five chapters later, and we think Jesus is no longer talking about his commandment. But he is. He's still talking and giving shape to what the commandment is. In John 17, Jesus says, eternal life is found in knowing the one true God. Eternal life, life everlasting, is found in knowing the one true God. And then Jesus goes on to explain or describe what it means to know the one true God, as seeing God is with you to be a father to your life. It's knowing God as Father. That's how you know the one true God. And Jesus comes and says, if you know God, if you see that God is with you to be a father to your life, to pick you up out of the miry clay and to make a place for you in his house and to fill you with the wine of his life, if you're busy knowing God like that and you're busy knowing he intends to do all of that free from your works, then that will be unto eternal life manifesting in you. That's his commandment, because we know it's unto life everlasting. Right? You guys see that? I want to connect the dots. I want to say this. If Jesus says in John 17, eternal life is found in knowing God as Father. So if eternal life is found in knowing God as your Father, and the commandment of Jesus is the thing that produces eternal life in people, then the commandment of Jesus has got to be to make God known to the world. So that in mankind, seeing God is drawn near to them, to father his life in them, to be a father to their life, their faith would be towards God. You guys see that? Jesus says, my commandment is unto life everlasting. Then he comes and says, life everlasting is found in seeing God as your Father. Therefore, his commandment must be to declare the Father. You see? Jesus coming to the earth to make the Father known. Because he knows that in people knowing the Father, that's what will give birth to life in them. And the Trinity, the Godhead, whatever you want to call them, Father, Son, and Spirit, the thing they're busy with up in heaven, in the heavenly throne room, the thing they were busy with is, let us save our man from death. Well, knowing us is unto eternal life. So Jesus, we're going to send you into the earth. You're going to put on human flesh, and you're going to stand up in the earth as us, for us, and you're going to make us known. That in the world, knowing us, seeing our heart and seeing what's really in our heart for their lives, they'll be intimate with us. They'll be drawn to us, and that will be unto eternal life manifesting in them and them being delivered from the death in the world. Hallelujah. That's his commandment. So God's busy thinking, I don't like it these guys are dying. It doesn't feel nice. Do any of you ever like it when someone's dying? I don't like it. It upsets me. Well, how much more so God? And so he's busy thinking, I don't want these guys to die. I see how they can be delivered from death, and I see how they can have eternal life manifested in them. Jesus, we're going to send you into the earth so you can declare the way that will produce eternal life in them. That is the commandment of Jesus. That's what it's all about, producing eternal life in a people that are dying. That's what God's after. Hallelujah. And thank God that's what he's after. So what can we say about the commandment of Jesus? What can we say about the commandment of Jesus? It's the revelation of the Father's love for the world. The Father has given it into Jesus' hands to make known to the world his love for them. That's what the whole commandment is about. In John 17, remember when Jesus is praying with the Father? What does Jesus say to the Father? And what's he talking about with the Father? And in fact, in John 17, Jesus is praying with the Father about the commandment being made manifest in the earth. He's actually talking with the Father about how we about to make this commandment manifested in the earth. We about to get down. We about to do like we do, right? You know how God do? He manifests light and life everywhere he goes. And he swallows death and darkness. He said, we're about to do what we do. So Jesus is praying to the Father in John 17 about the commandment being made manifest in the world. He prays in John 17 to the Father that the world would know that the Father loves us as much as the Father loves Jesus. That's what he's praying about. That's what he's talking to the Father about. And so Jesus is fully persuaded that the Father loves him. And he's praying to the Father that we might be fully persuaded of the Father's love for us just as he is. And he's saying, if we can make manifest this commandment, this saying about you and what's in your heart for human beings, if they can behold your heart in me, then that is going to persuade them of your love for them just as I am persuaded of your love for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so Jesus in John 17, he knows the hour is coming. Right? He knows he's about to be nailed to a tree. He says, people are going to be scattered for me. It's going to look like I'm alone. John 17, Jesus is with the Father, and he says, the hour has come. Now is the time where I'm going to take the death that's in the world into my flesh on the cross. And then he says to the Father, glorify me. I'm going to take the death of the world into my flesh. There I'm going to be nailed to that tree. It's going to look like you've left me. It's going to look like everyone else will have left me. And there I'm going to be looking alone. And Jesus prays to the Father and he says, glorify me. Come and raise me from the dead so that in the world, seeing the love you have for me and raising me up out of the miry clay as the Son of Man, the world will see a testimony of the love you have for them. Because the world's busy thinking, where's God? He can't love us. And so our faith was not towards him because we weren't persuaded of his love for us. Our faith was towards our own works because we thought we got to give ourselves life. Jesus came to declare the love of the Father. That's the commandment. And so, man, Jesus, this is why John says in the first chapter, no one has seen the Father. No one has known God at any time but the Son. It says he has been in the bosom of the Father, or he has been in the Father's heart. He is the Father's heart, and he has come to declare the Father in the earth. And so Jesus was the only one knowing the heart of God. He was the only one truly knowing God as Father. And so what the Father did was he gave it into Jesus' hand to make him known to the world. That's what he did. You're knowing me. You see my heart. We're one, right? I see myself in you. You see yourself in me. We think the same things. We feel the same things. We believe the same things. I'm going to give it into your hand to go into the earth and make me known. That's the commandment the Father gave to Jesus. Jesus said, the Father has given into my hands a commandment. He's given into my hands to declare him in the earth. He gave it into Jesus' hands to make the love he has for the world known. That's the commandment. God wanted to be known by the world. He wanted to be known, to know and be known. Do you know, human beings, we want to be seen. Like, we want to see that people see us, that they know us. We want to see that they understand us. We don't want to be invisible. We don't like that. God's not doing it from a selfish perspective, but he's wanting to be known because he knows that in being known, it will be unto eternal life. So he wanted to be known by the world so that we could be translated from the condemnation of death into the light of his eternal life. And he gave it into Jesus' hands to teach us who the Father is. That's the commandment. It's a saying about the Father and the Father's heart. It's a saying about the love the Father has in his heart for the world. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world. That's the commandment of Jesus. God so loved the world that he was not willing to let you perish, but that he came so that you could be delivered from death and that you might have eternal life. That's the commandment of Jesus. Oh, man, how are we ever going to get that right? Honestly, man, when I was filled with the carnal mind, I almost would have preferred him just tell me what to do because I thought I had strong ability, right? I thought, man, the most difficult thing is to be persuaded this guy loves me. Just give me the things to do and I can work them, right? But once I got the carnal mind crucified in my heart and my heart becomes circumcised from the Adam mind, I began knowing the love of the Father. And I really began seeing how easy that was. And I even began see this guy doesn't even leave it up to me to rest myself. This guy just wants to put his love on display for me, and that in me seeing the great love wherewith he loves me, that love will put me to rest. He maketh me to lie down in the tender green grass. Right? That's the commandment of Jesus. You can read Psalm 23. That's the commandment of Jesus. The Father is my shepherd. I lack nothing. It's his teaching. You see how he's teaching about the Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Remember, I said it a couple times now, but I love this passage. But remember, John says that Jesus is the light that lights up every person that comes into the world. Jesus is the light that came into the world to reveal to every person the love the Father has for them. That's when the light comes on. When you get a revelation of the love this guy has in his heart for you, when you see the resurrection and you see that that's not just a testimony that God raised Jesus from the dead. God had so much love in his heart for Jesus that he loved Jesus right out of the grave. He loved him out of death unto eternal life. Well, that's not just telling us that the Father did this to Jesus. Jesus prayed that we would know the Father loved us the same way that he loved him. And so the resurrection is designed to be a testimony of the love that's in the Father's heart for your life. So that when you could see the love in the Father's heart for you, it would be a light shining. What did Jesus do to get the Father to raise him out of the dead, out of the grave? Remember, his hands were nailed to a tree, because so he didn't do any, he wasn't given or performing any tasks. I mean, his hands were nailed to a tree. You know what he did? Father. He knew God was Father. He said, this guy loves me so much, he'll never allow this sin to corrupt my life. Well, just to give another spin on what the commandment of Jesus could look like. Jesus is the light of the world. So seeing that Jesus is the light of the world, seeing that Jesus is the light that entered the earth, the commandment of Jesus could just as easily be, let there be light. Let there be light. The commandment of Jesus is the calling forth of life in people. That's what the commandment of Jesus is. He comes to call forth life out of people that are dying. And the way he comes to call forth life out of people is by putting on display the love in the Father's heart for their life. And when they can know the Father by seeing the love he has in his heart for their life, that calls them out of the darkness of death into the glorious light of life. Paul talks about God saying, let there be light in Genesis. And he says, we having the same spirit of faith that brought forth light out of the midst of the darkness in Genesis, we having the same spirit of faith, we are calling people forth out of the darkness into the light by revealing the love the Father has for them in the declaration of the resurrection. That's the commandment of Jesus. Hallelujah. Since we talked about the commandment of Jesus on the cross, we can see the commandment of Jesus in his death and his resurrection. You could see a picture of what his commandment is on the cross. We can see his teaching. He's teaching us on the cross what the way unto everlasting life, isn't it? Isn't he showing us right there on the cross? What is the way into everlasting life? He's giving us his commandment. And just like I just said, when we look at Jesus on the cross, it's easy to see that his commandment cannot be about the works which we could do because his hands are nailed to a tree. He says, you guys, I've been with you all this time and you're still not knowing what the commandment is or what the works of God are that you might work them. So let it be abundantly clear. Behold my hands nailed to this tree. And now listen to me give you my commandment. Listen to me now teach you the way unto everlasting life. And what is it Jesus performed to inherit the blessing of life when his hands were nailed to a tree? Did he give some money? Are you sure he didn't give any money? Did he perform some miracles when his hands were nailed to a tree? Did he perform the works of the law when his hands were nailed to a tree? You know, in fact, I'm reminded of the Sermon on the Mount where he says, it's better for your eye to be plucked out and your hand to be cut off than to you to look for your hand for eternal life. Jesus said, I'd rather die on this cross than look to my hand for eternal life. Because he knew death was actually found in looking to the hand. And he knew knowing the Father is what was unto everlasting life. So the commandment of Jesus was made flesh on the cross. Jesus was declaring God as Father. Remember when he said, into your hands I commit my life? What did he start that with? Abba, into your hands I commit my life. There he is giving his commandment. There he is teaching the way about life everlasting. There he is declaring God as Father in the earth. And listen, Jesus desired life when he was on that cross. He wanted life. He wanted to be clothed upon. He wanted to be vindicated from the accusations that were coming against him. He wanted to be vindicated from the injustices that happened to him. He wanted to be clothed with life. He sat with all those desires. And what he said, because he was knowing God as Father, he knew that God would serve him with all those things, free from his works. So he began to commit all of his desires into the hands of God. Into your hands, Father, I commit my desire to be clothed upon with life. Into your hands, I commit my desire to see the kingdom manifested. Into your hands, I commit my desire to be vindicated from this injustice. Into your hands, I commit my desire to be justified from the accusations that are coming against me. Into your hands, I commit my desire to be comforted from this affliction. He hungered and thirsted on the cross. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after God's righteousness. There he is on the cross, afflicted with the death of the world. He's desiring comfort, and they come and give him a sponge full of an elixir that can numb the pain. He wanted comfort, but he spit it out because it wasn't water, because he was hungering and thirsting after God's ability to comfort him. He knew this elixir looks good for food. It looks good, like it can comfort me. But it actually can't give me the comfort that I'm after. The comfort that I'm after can only come from within the Father. Father, into your hands I commit my life. Oh, glory to God. That's the commandment of Jesus on the cross when he says, Father, into your hands I commit my life. And we see that it's unto life everlasting in the resurrection, because here he comes out of the grave. Never to die again. Never to taste sin and death again. Isn't his commandment unto life everlasting? So what was unto life everlasting? The Father loves me. He won't suffer me to see corruption. He'll never leave my life in the grave. That's what he declared on the cross. And then we see that it produced eternal life in him in the resurrection. That's the commandment. John 14:6. We all know this verse, maybe not by number, but we know the saying, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Notice what he goes on to say. No man comes to the Father but by me. So what he's saying is I've come to reveal to you the righteousness in God's heart towards you in your life. So that when you can see the equitable deed that is in the Father's heart towards you, when you can see that this guy's heart isn't lifted up with pride, it's lifted up with integrity and love towards you. When you can see that, that will be the way that produces eternal life in you. Hallelujah. That's the commandment of Jesus. He comes and reveals God's righteousness towards mankind, to be a father to their life, without asking for anything from them, without asking for them to perform any works. He comes to father their life. So that, man, that's a good guy that does something like that. I mean, heck, even should a guy give us $100, right? And we don't think we've done nothing to get it. We're like, they're swell. Seriously, man. I mean, when people, oh, why did they do that for me? We think they're honorable and full of integrity. There was no reason for them to do that. They loved me when I wasn't worth loving. We'll say things like that. Now, the thing about God is you're always worth loving. You are worthy of love. The gospel is not about how God loved you even though you weren't worthy of love. The gospel is about how you were always worthy of love. And so he come loving you. It's like we think our sin could cause God to deny the love he feels for us. If his love for us is that fragile, woe is all of us. The thing is, we thought it was that fragile. So God gave it into Jesus' hand to declare to us that this love is unshakable, infallible, impenetrable, unmovable. Hallelujah. Just as Jesus says in John 16, when he says that the Holy Spirit will come into the earth to do what? Reprove us of righteousness. That doesn't mean to cause us to act the right way. Although we might find ourselves loving people when we see God's righteousness towards us. It's true. But when Jesus says in John 16 that the Holy Spirit come to reprove us of righteousness, what Jesus is saying is that the Holy Spirit shows us God's righteousness towards us. to care for our lives and to overcome the sin and death in our flesh. And the way the Holy Spirit guides us to the place where we could see God's righteousness towards us is the Holy Spirit shows us the man Jesus seated at the right hand of God in glorified human flesh. And that man Jesus, the Son of Man, just like all of us, the way that he got there was by the Father loving him out of the grave. And when we see that, oh, there's a man there. That man was dead on the cross. My goodness, and that man is now at the right hand of God. And the way he got there was by the Father's love for him. Oh, my goodness, that's what's in the Father's heart for me. Hallelujah. That's the commandment of Jesus. The Holy Spirit, Jesus is saying in John 16, listen, man, the Holy Spirit is going to testify to you. Not that you should be faithful, but of God's faithfulness towards you. And the way he's going to testify of that to you is he's going to point to Jesus, who ascended to heaven and sat down at the right hand by the power of God's might. That's how he's going to prove it to you. You want to know if God's faithful to you? Well, behold yourself in the man Christ Jesus and ask yourself, was the Father faithful to him? Well, that's the testimony that the Father will be faithful to you. That's the commandment of Jesus. He declares the Father's faithfulness to all of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what happens when you see all that, when the Holy Spirit does all that? What happens is that you come to the place where you see this guy loves you so much. There can only be one conclusion. If this guy is busy loving me that much, I must be his son. I must be his daughter. The only reason someone would love me this much is if I'm his child. The only way that he could love me like this is if I'm his children. That's the conclusion there. And then that reminds me of something the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8. Because we could see the commandment at work even in the Apostle Paul's words in Romans 8, where he says that God has poured out the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. And what does he say that the Spirit of the Son that's been poured out into our hearts will do? He says that it will testify to us of the Father's love for us. And that in us seeing the testimony of the Father's love, our hearts would do what? Cry out, Abba. We have not been given a spirit that could produce fear in us anymore, but we've been given the Spirit of the Son. What Spirit? That the Son was fully persuaded of the Father's love for him. And that love that he saw the Father had for him, it all the time testified to his heart that he was the Son of God. And that caused him in the midst of the death in the world to cry out, Abba. And that was unto eternal life in him. God says, I'm not just going to leave it up to these guys' intellects to get it right. I'm going to pour out the Spirit of what was in my Son. That Spirit can dwell in them. And that Spirit can testify to their hearts of my love for them. And that Spirit, in testifying of my love for them, will bring something forth in them where they say, I am the children of God. Abba. That's the commandment of Jesus at work. That's the commandment of Jesus in action. It comes to prove the Father's love to you. So that in your heart you say, I must be his son. I must be his daughter. This guy actually loves me. Abba. That's the commandment of Jesus in action. Listen, man, it's the power to your life being animated by the grace of God. There's strength in God's love for you. There's strength to overcome everything. I promise you, all any of us want is to overcome. We desire to overcome. And listen, I'm not telling you this theoretically. I'm telling you this from the place of having been overcome by the world in every single way you could be overcome. And I tried all the different ways myself to do the overcoming. And what I've seen now is that I'm actually living an overcoming life. And I can see that it's got nothing to do with anything that I've done other than beholding God in the face of Jesus. I actually sat at the feet of Jesus long enough to be persuaded that he loves me. And not theoretically, like, yeah, I know he loves me. I'm talking about, should someone nail me to a tree, I know he loves me. And I'm not telling you got to be nailed to a tree. Please understand. Okay? I'm not telling you you're going to be nailed to a tree. Please understand what I'm saying. The resurrection is the commandment of Jesus. You know why? It declares God to the world. It makes God known. And it makes him known as Father. Because we see him come and be a father to Jesus' life. We see him come and father his life in Jesus, free from Jesus' works, because Jesus' hands were nailed to a tree. He's dying a sinner's death. He was dying our death. The point of Jesus taking our sin upon himself and dying our death is that we could see ourselves and him on the cross, and we could see how the Father would be with us. The resurrection reveals the love God has in his heart for mankind. And that's how it gives us intimacy with the Father. You know how you have intimacy with somebody? When you see their heart is pure. When you see their heart is pure towards you. When you see there's only ever loving kindness in their heart towards you. When you see that there's no shadow of turning in their heart towards you. That even should you fail, even should you get it wrong, even should you smack them across the face, even should you nail them to a tree, you see that there's only loving kindness in their heart. That's how you will have intimacy with someone, because you know what happens is it causes you to plop your heart right on the table. Intimacy, man. The resurrection, it declares to all of us, God is with us. He's with you. He's with me. The resurrection is the testimony that God gave into Jesus' hands to declare in the world, which testimony is you're not an orphan. God is with you to father his life in you, free from your works. God is with you to overcome the sin and death that is manifested in your flesh and in this earth by the power of his eternal life. He is with you to overcome that inside out of you by getting inside of you the spirit of his life, and the spirit of his life working itself out inside of you, even to the point that it's going to raise you up into glorified immortal flesh on the last day. Abba! Abba! And that's the commandment of Jesus. All right, let's break it down to the level of friends now. You guys got a whole dose of theological stuff there? Let's break it down to the level of friends, because Jesus is our friend. And sometimes we read those verses and we get caught up in a theological mindset, and it's like, is this how this dude would be talking to me if we chilling right now? Right? Because I don't know if I understand that. See, it can sound foreign to us, but Jesus was talking a language that made sense to those Hebrew people. And so it was just like us talking slang, right? Like, le bon temps roulé, right? Like, let the good times roll. Right? I start singing about down in New Orleans where the blues was born. It takes a cool cat to blow a horn. And all you guys are like, yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So we'll take it down to a friend's level, because Jesus is our friend. He's our dog, right? He's our boy. He's our homie. Homie, homie, don't you know me? And so the commandment of Jesus is Jesus saying, listen, guys, I got something to tell you about God. And what is in his heart for your life? This guy loves you so much. He is so taken with you. He is so taken by the thought of sharing his life with you for all eternity that he has drawn near to you to overcome the sin and death that's in the world and that's manifested in your body. He's drawn near to you to overcome that for you, to cause your life to overcome that. And the way he's going to do it is by manifesting his eternal life inside of your physical body. And we're like, how can that be? And then he shows us in the resurrection. Bam! That's the commandment of Jesus. Thank you guys for your kindness. Thank you for your love. Father, we just come together today, and man, when we think of your love for us, we're just made still, Father. Thank you, Father, that you love us. Lord, we don't always know how it's going to work out or the way that it works out. But Lord, into your hands we commit our desire. Our only desire today is that we just be persuaded of your love for us, Father. We forsake all the other things, Lord, for the knowledge of knowing your love for us. That's our heart. That's our heart, Father, that we could just know you, that we could just know your heart, that we could just be fully persuaded of your love for us as we walk through this earth. Thank you, Father, that this prayer is in accordance with your will and with your heart. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are bringing that forth in all of us, that we could find ourselves living as sons and daughters in this earth, that we could find ourselves experiencing your love and your life as we walk in this earth just as Jesus did. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory to God. I love you guys. You're awesome. You rock. That's the commandment of Jesus. The commandment will actually be unto you being put to rest. It's actually God calling forth rest in you by showing you his love. Man, God is good.